teammate Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. And Mike, so Mercedes Lewis drops a little bit of an onion peel on us a little earlier today as we ended up hearing kind of what was going on inside the huddle. So give me your thoughts on some of the things that were said on all of this, because you and I were noticing some of the same things upstairs.
If Brett Favre changes a play and it goes for 40 yards instead of some running play, everybody goes, they just laugh and they go, oh, there goes Brett. There's just something about Aaron Rodgers' character where people say, well, this guy is undermining the coach. Now, the fact that he called a play that went 40 yards, I don't think Mike McCarthy is going to be upset about that. But I want to talk about Mercedes Lewis. That's a respectable, truthful source. And we didn't get to talk to him that much this year because they didn't use him as much as I thought they were going to, as much as I thought they should have, as a matter of fact. Forget about the speed. You can't beat the guy once he's got the ball in his hands and he's on the second level. Now, he never saw this in his 16 years down. You know, his quarterbacks were Byron Leftwich and David Garrard and Luke McCown and Blaine Gabbert, and Blake Bortles. So, you know, that's the quality of quarterbacks he was with. They couldn't audible themselves out of a paper bag. Well, Leftwich probably could have, and he's a coordinator now. So you got to take that into account. But what that says is, what if you're Equanimeous St. Brown, and you know what the coach just called, and you've been told to run something completely different, and then you know tomorrow and Monday you're going to be graded about this and be asked, where are you going on this? What the hell was this? Well, the quarterback changed. I mean, that puts the younger players in the middle, and that's how you lose a football team, and that's how you create that division. And, yeah, Rodgers has got to stop that. He's got to stop that. They've all got to be on the same page.
Now you move forward, and you've got, obviously, a whole host of coaching candidates you're going to be looking into, and who's going to be the next one to come in and kind of wrangle this team and put their arms around it. So, Jim Caldwell, first out of the chute to be a guy that's been interviewed. They fulfill the Rooney rule, but he comes with a little bit of cred.
Absolutely. He took the Colts to a Super Bowl, and they lost to the Saints. That's the year that the Saints won. And he had a winning record every 3 or 4 years with the Detroit Lions, but they fired him. One glimmer of hope I want to tell, Packers fans, don't forget the Bears this weekend at 12-4 and one of the winners of the NFC North playing the Eagles. They were 11-5 last year. They turned it that quickly, with the right coaching hire, too. Absolutely the right coaching hire. And Ryan Pace has done a good job as a GM. 2 years ago at this time, Bill, teams were hiring, just like the Packers are right now. The Dolphins hired Adam Gase. Chip Kelly was hired by the 49ers. Hugh Jackson was hired by the Cleveland Browns. Mike Mularkey was hired by Tennessee. Dirk Cutter was hired by Tampa Bay. Ben McAdoo, the former Packers assistant to McCarthy, was hired as gone from OC to head coach of the Giants. All of them have been fired in 2 years. The only one that survived in that class, Doug Peterson, and he won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to Jim Caldwell, who met with the Packers last week, and this is how he handled the situation when he was into Detroit and trying to turn things around, and his season was off to a 1-7 start.
If you ask me about what the tough seasons do to you, the tough seasons gnaw at you. They're difficult. They're hard. They challenge you in every single possible way. And whether or not you're up for that challenge is a question. And that's kind of what our business is all about. There's no such thing as an easy road in the National Football League. If you're looking for an easy road, you don't want to choose this business. If you're afraid of a little challenge, you don't want to choose this business. If you're one of those guys that go up and down because you're challenged and there's some difficulty in your life, you don't want to deal with this business.
Talk about up and down and not dealing with the business. Josh McDaniels comes with a little bit of baggage. A lot of people question his character because of what he did to the Colts last year.
Nobody doubts that Josh McDaniels has got a fine offensive mind. He's now 42 years old, 10 years ago, too young to go in there and run the Broncos. Gets caught with the video crew guy taking pictures of the 49ers through a run-through when they were going to play them in Wembley Stadium in London.
Got completely forgot about that until I heard you mention that earlier today.
He got fined $50,000.
Yeah.
The NFL, it was like Spygate. They caught him red-handed with that. That's a Weasley thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year ago at this time, his agent, Bob Lamont, sets him up and gets him an offer with the Colts, and in about 24 hours, he changes his mind. His agent publicly drops him as a client. Like, are you kidding? And it's the same agent McCarthy has. A lot of the coaches have. Are you kidding me? I just got you the Colts head coaching job, and you changed your mind? So Josh McDaniels was asked, and I'm sure He's going to be asked by Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, why did you change your mind on Indy?
There's a lot that goes into those things. It can be very complicated. I've stated again and again that I definitely want to be a head coach again. At the same time, I love being here, my family, this is where my kids are born and raised, and we've made a pretty special life here, and that's not an easy thing to leave. So there's a lot to consider. Leaving here, I don't take lightly ever. I would never take that lightly. It was a difficult process, and I'm very happy with the decision that we made, and grateful to be here and continue working towards the 2018 season.
That's great, I guess. Doesn't really answer the question in depth, you know.
He's going to have to talk his wife into Green Bay as a place to raise the kids.
I guess. It's a great place to raise kids. I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't have the hustle and bustle of a big city.
It's
not Massachusetts, I guess, to a certain extent.
And they're also going to talk to his colleague, Brian Flores. I did a spot that we put up on the Bill Michaels website earlier this week, like, well, who's Brian Flores? Well, he's a linebacker, played for Boston College. Had an injury, though, so it didn't really make him eligible to play in the NFL. He's about 37 years old, a Honduran-American who... Well, he came in with the same group as Matt Patricia in 2004 under Belichick, and he was a scout. Then he was like a special teams assistant, defensive back assistant, a linebacker coach, and that's what he played. He's been a linebacker's coach the last several years, and then this past year, Belichick actually let him be the lead guy on defense. He never named him defensive coordinator, but he's a defensive play caller and linebacker's coach. And now people are talking about him, the way he took over for Matt Patricia and how he ran the Patriots defense this year. So, I'm looking for – this is a guy talking to the Boston Globe, okay? This is just not off the record. This is a guy that has to get in front of 53 players and get them motivated. And he was asked, so how's your change now that Matt Patricia's left?
Every year it's the same for me. My goal as a coach, is – to help our guys become the best version of themselves, on and off the field. That's my goal. So every year is kind of the same that way, and I work, I work hard to achieve that goal. That's really my main goal. It's been good.
Is it different splitting up your time where before you were kind of locked into one position and now you're kind of responsible for all three levels of the defense?
I'd say, again, every year is a little bit different. Every year is a little bit different. I think there's change on every team every year. Is it different than last year? Well, yeah. I mean, last year was different than the year before, and the year before was different than that year. So, I mean, there's always change, and, that's the game. You got to make adjustments on the field. You got to make adjustments, within a staff. It's no different than any other organization. I'm sure you guys, have to make adjustments and, work with different people in different roles and what you guys are doing.
Are you fired up, Packer fans?
There you go. Can't wait. Let's do this. We're going to go take a quick break. We'll come back. More of Mike Clemens from NFL Serious Radio right after this.
I've never been in this spot, and I'm not going to act like I know what the hell I'm going to do tomorrow when they get in here. So we're going to do what we always do. We're going to represent the Packers the right way. I know that. So other than that, we'll focus on what's in front of us.
Don't know what the answer is going to be. And then after that, Mike McCarthy was let go. Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show continues. Mike Clements, NFL Serious Radio on board. That was, I remember that, man. That was the verbal throwing your hands in the air.
Last thing he said officially is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And about 20 minutes later, he was called upstairs to Mark Murphy's office and said, we're done today after the loss to the Cardinals.
I got to admit, I kept thinking it was going to happen at the end of the season, but after knowing what we know now, you kind of understand why, before things just got worse, why things moved along the way they did.
Well, and you have to do what's best for the team, and I think they did the best thing for the team. They let Joe Philbin show what he could. They were able to get into that locker room and start assessing things with players, like what's wrong. They got to put some players on the field. And honestly, I think it was the best thing for Mike McCarthy. Take a break, be with family, have the first Christmas of your life in 25 years, where you're not prepping for a game, and then get ready for your next job, because they know he's going to get hired right away if he chooses to coach again this year. So it was the best thing for it was smart. Forget about the tradition, like, well, you never fire a football coach at the end of the season. It's too competitive these days, and you want to make sure that, you know, you get your guy and you start advertising that and that you get prepared for it. Packers talking to all kinds of guys like Mike Munchak. Now, here's a guy who he played for the Houston Oilers, the Bud Adams team. You know, Bud moved the team to Nashville to become the Titans. But he was, 10 years, I think he's in the Hall of Fame as an offensive lineman there, worked his way up, and then he got his chance. Now, this is one of the guys that they'll probably talk to. Right now, he's the offensive line coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they talked to him this weekend. And here's how Munchak handled the deal that he was 7-9 in his third year with the Titans back in 2016.
You know, we sat in this room in April 8 months ago and had a plan, and the plan was to be playing this weekend. I mean, all the other great things we want to have happened. I mean, good things happened, no doubt. Players had some of their best years. I thought we improved in a lot of areas. All that stuff's good stuff. But the bottom line, as we all know, is we need to be playing this weekend. So, like I said about having a plan, well, what can they do to help have that happen next year? And that's what we talked about in the offseason, what they can do. Because it's going to be, the offseason is all about what ifs. If you don't win the Super Bowl, there's a lot of what ifs. What could we have done differently as a team, as a player? And players go through that. Coaches go through that. You'd rather be at least be in the playoffs. You'd like to be one step further to give you a chance to win it. So I think there's disappointment in us as a team of not accomplishing what we want to accomplish. But you can't let it just beat you down to where there wasn't some good, too.
And he got fired the next day. Now, you know, he's a guy that's from Pittsburgh. He reminds you a lot of McCarthy, and I've been around him. And maybe if he did get the job, or wherever, if he does get a head coaching job again, you know, maybe he hires one of these younger hotshot guys to be an offensive coordinator who can call the plays, you know, like this LaFleur guy, Matt LaFleur, who hasn't got a lot of play-calling experience, but they're doing the prep and that kind of thing for whatever job he's got. So then next, Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy are going to hold interviews down in New Orleans. And let's make this clear. Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, when they're on the clock, they represent the Green Bay Packers like it's the Catholic Church. I mean, they care very much about representing that organization. And I also think that they feel any of these guys better be knocking down their door for this opportunity. So that first interview is not about, oh, yeah, you probably heard we had some trouble with Aaron. How would you handle that? You don't even get a chance to say that.
Right.
These guys should be lucky to be in the room with these two cats, and you've got 2 hours to tell us about your life story, how you got here, and why you think are the next best candidate. And maybe in the second interview, you can open up your mouth and say, well, here's what I think is wrong with your team and how I'd make changes, or here's some guys I'd bring along with you. The initial interview's got to be, how bad do you want it? Because if you don't want it that bad, then we don't have to worry about a second interview. Now, Pete Carmichael is the offensive coordinator for the Saints. Show of hands, how many people knew that? He's actually the longest tenured offensive coordinator in the National Football League under Sean Payton. Sean Payton, who interviews the day before Mike McCarthy with Ted Thompson back in 2006, 13 years ago this month. He thought Payton was smart, but maybe a little too smart. He liked the Pittsburgh macho of more down-to-earth Mike McCarthy, and had a long talk, Mike McCarthy looking out the window and talking about the practice field and all that. And Thompson just saw a guy with a whistle around his neck and a sweatshirt and what he thought the next coach should be the Green Bay Packers. He passed on Sean Payton. Payton actually got his Super Bowl ring a year earlier than McCarthy did, and he ends up outlasting McCarthy with a favorite to get in to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl this year. That's an interesting part to the story. Pete Carmichael has been at Sean Payton's side as offensive coordinator, but we all know it's Payton with the flip chart up to his mouth calling the plays into Drew Brees. So Pete Carmichael was asked by, you know, a Saints interviewer, how do you feel about that arrangement? Don't you think you should be calling the plays?
Well, I think that the way it's been has been successful for us, and Sean calls the plays on game day, but there's a lot of input prior to the game going in about what calls we might want for that for the game, and then also as the game's going along, just thoughts.
When you get into the heat of the game, are there situations where you say, look, coach, I know this is going to work?
I think that happens every so often, but I think that if I'm thinking it, probably everybody's thinking it.
Now, one thing we got to ask you, Pete. Have you ever been mad? Ever? I've never seen you raise your voice. Now, of course, we're not on the sidelines with you, but have you ever been mad?
I get mad at my kids.
Well, not your players?
No, I'd rather talk to them than have to yell at them.
Interesting. I mean, get mad at the kids, that's it. Don't yell at the players, but you get mad at the kids every now and then.
That's Pete Carmichael, offensive coordinator of Saints. Packers are going to talk to him, pick his brain a little bit, you know. I just yell at the kids.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yell at the kids. Well, you can yell at players like kids, I guess, no doubt.
Now, here's a yeller. Dan Campbell, tight end for the Cowboys, played about 10 years, 6'5", still looks like he could suit up and play. He's that's the other thing, too, Bill. A lot of these coaches, you're not going to see the Mike Sherman, you know, Mike McCarthy, Andy Reid, you know, three times to the buffet crowd. A lot of these guys are like Dan Quinn. They've got like the runner's, you know, wristwatch on and that kind of stuff. A lot of these guys are in shape. Maybe today's players respect that a little bit more. I don't know. Dan Campbell, 6'5", big imposing figure. He's a tight end and a tight end's coach for the Saints last couple of years. But here's an interesting thing. He was promoted as the interim coach in Miami, when Joe Philbin left the Packers, 15-1 season, 1-and-done against the Giants, the tragic loss of his son Michael, you know, in the water, 21 years old. Joe gets out of Green Bay, becomes the head coach of the Dolphins. He hires this Dan Campbell. And when Philbin gets fired, like week 4 back in 2015, Dan Campbell replaces him, Joe Philbin, as the interim head coach. And he talked about what it was like taking over for Joe Philbin.
First things first with Coach Philbin. You know, I have the utmost respect for Joe. I mean, he's been nothing but a class act for us, and I've learned a lot from him. You know, he didn't have to hire me back in 2011, but he did. I was part of the old staff, and I'm forever grateful for that. There's a lot of things that I'll take with me that I learned from him.
Interesting. Mike, when you talk about a guy that's a yeller and Dan Campbell, look, he's a guy that is kind of no nonsense.
Didn't get the job, by the way.
Right, but he's guy. You know, I guess my question becomes too, because they're casting a wide net. They're talking to both defensive and offensive guys. Are they looking for a type of guy or looking for a specific offense or defensive side of the football? I think they're
trying to gather as much information as they can, and you know, they've been thinking about this for a while, and the scouts are always looking at guys. Maybe if they see what's going on in practice, they interview players, that kind of thing. You know, who does a great job on the practice field? Who seems to really improve, turned around fundamentals on team? It shows up on the film when players are fundamentally more sound, and how he takes maybe average undrafted players or gets, you know, the team ready even when they've had a slew of injuries. You know, how does his group of guys look on Sunday? So the very next day, Dan Campbell, back in 2015, he takes over as the interim head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And here was the lead story in the sports on Channel 5 down in Miami.
On day one of the Dan Campbell regime, the Dolphins immediately started to practice what the new coach is preaching.
All I wanted to see is guys come out and compete, and violently compete. And I felt that today.
Campbell put some old school back in the routine, with players going mano a mano. No complicated strategy, just a new focus on simple toughness. It sparked one brief scuffle that left the new boss shrugging his shoulders.
Well, I'm not telling these guys to go out and start throwing punches, but hey, if guys get a little bit heated and they get after it a little bit, you may have some of those. Everything else, it was all about being primates again. Every one of those guys. Just back to the days where, hey, you line up and you go.
Wow. All right, there you go.
Aaron Rodgers, be careful for what you wished for.
Yep, there you go. Mike, always good. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, Billy.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Mike Clemens joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Horn Childline. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.